And we are live on the Side Quest E3 2019 Spectacular. Pew, pew, pew. That is the sound of craziness. It is me, Dolly DeMoss.
Was he just chugging some kind of alcohol?
Aaron, that's Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hello, sorry.
Okay, and that's Aaron, who is chugging alcohol. Aaron, hey, what's up?
I got about half a bottle of Ocart left.
Nice, dude. Yeah. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Were you doing that last time too?
I had just cracked it last time.
Okay.
I think I'm going back to whiskey.
Yeah, a good man.
Yeah.
Good solid choice. I approve.
I'm also drinking whiskey. I got some. Actually, I got some. White Walker, the Johnny Walker White Walker.
Oh, you guys make me feel so boring.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm drinking a LaCroix.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's something. It tastes like melted plastic. I stopped drinking the LaCroix because it doesn't taste great anymore to me.
And now that you say that, actually, I find this really unappealing. So thank you for that.
Sorry about that. Hey, Sam. Sam's here too.
Hi, I'm drinking normal water. I believe it's from my tap. I don't know. It's in the pitcher that's in the fridge. It gets filled occasionally. I drink from it. It's got a filter on one end, right? That's fine.
Nice. Well, hey, how's it going, everybody? You guys do good?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We are less than a month from E3. 26 days, I think, from E3.
Dun, dun.
June. 24 days from like all the freaking press conferences and stuff. So it's happening. It is happening, my friends. It's that time of year. That's what we're going to do. The E3 Spectacular. Hop on the hype train. Get on the caboose. I'm sorry. I'm ruining my vocal cords right now. We are going to get into some E3 stuff. But we're going to do a little bit of news first. We generally start with what we've been playing, but... there's a lot of E3 talk that we want to get to. So we'll hold off on that maybe to next week because I don't think any of us have really been playing anything new anyway, so that's fine.
I've been playing that one thing.
The thing that I gave you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I beat it.
Oh, did you already? Okay, we'll talk about that next time. We'll save this.
I'll save it.
Let's table this.
My review will be live by the time we talk about it, which is good.
Totally fine. That makes it even better then. And let's get into a little bit of news. So Aaron, what news you got?
Okay, top story. Red Dead Online's finally adding poker. Hey, remember like those 6 weeks of podcasts where I constantly bitched about that?
They heard you finally.
Finally. So there's that. That's
it. It's out of beta, right? It was in beta this whole time?
Yeah. This whole time.
This is just a poker game. We can make a gigantic game, but we can't make a poker game.
I actually think you might be right, Dally. I think they might be saying that this whole online, like since the launch of the game or since the launch of online, has been considered a beta. And with this patch, it's officially out. They're out there saying that at this point in the life cycle of Grand Theft Auto 5 Online, Red Dead is doing better numbers wise than GTA Online was, which makes no sense to me because what are you doing? There's nothing to do in online. But they're adding poker, so I might play it again because I hate myself.
Sure.
So that was that. And then the other non-relevant story that I had in here was apparently Days Gone is doing really well.
Yeah, it's surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, so Days Gone has been the top of the digital UK sales charts for 3 weeks in a row. It's the best-selling game on PSN in all of Europe, and it's doing huge numbers in Japan. And that's a game that nobody talks about, and nobody seems to think was good. So, I thought I'd include that, because...
Yeah.
You know, we bagged on that game quite...
We did.
Quite
and
vigorously.
A lot of people are playing it.
Yep.
I still don't know what it is.
It's a motorcycle zombie game where the developers say that the zombies shouldn't be considered zombies.
Yep. He said they're freakers or something.
Something like that. And also, apparently, there's an Easter egg in the game that suggests it is set in the universe of Splinter Cell where they failed to save the world. Which...
It's so
awesome. Okay. Yeah. They drew comparisons to how Nier is set in a universe that is based off like the fifth or sixth alternate ending to Drakengard.
Hmm.
So it's that kind of thing. But anyway, yeah, that's all the non-E3 news I had.
Oh, okay. You have some E3 news though?
I do. So there's sort of two stories. The first one, EA is scaling back their E3 stuff this year. So they had announced and had been talking about how they were going to do their usual thing. Because EA is not really at E3, but they always do like the full weekend of like streams, and they've got like EA plays and all that stuff. Apparently they were planning on doing that, and then they scaled it back to like one day. They're doing like one day, like that Saturday, I think, of stuff. And then the rest of it is just going to be like content creators, streams and stuff like that. So they were already not really a presence at E3, and now they're even less of a presence, which I thought was newsworthy, because that's, you know, alongside everyone else who's not going to E3. And
go ahead.
I mean, that was just like, nobody's really talked about it. It's just like they announced that they were, or they didn't even announce that they were scaling it back. It was dug up out of like a like an investor call or something like that. It was like at the very end of like a list of things that were happening. But yeah, and then the other story is sort of a two-parter that developed over the week, which started with a story from Brian Crescente, who's over at Variety now, that was digging
in. Well, for we don't know for how much longer, because that's shut down.
Yeah, well, while he's there, he's doing amazing pieces. Mm-hmm. So he wrote a story called Inside the Disarray, Inside this, there's an actual title of this article, and I did not copy it. Inside the Disarray, Facing the Video Game Organization Behind E3. And it's a story all about the ESA, and how their president seems to kind of have gone off the rails, and how all the staff were very unhappy. And it's just a big deep dive into that. And then it ends basically with like last week or something, president and CEO Michael Gallagher getting ousted, though he claims he's left amicably and nobody will speak on it. It all seems very suspicious. And then they were operating for like about a week without any leadership. And then the second part of the story, I pulled from Eddie McCooch over at GameSpot, who had an article announcing that their new president and CEO was Stanley Pierre-Louis, or Louis, yeah, depending on how he pronounces it. He was formerly the interim CEO, and he got promoted to Gallagher's former positions. So it's sort of a two-part report, but a lot of it covers like how they're kind of in a tailspin. And then on top of that, they don't really know what they're doing with E3. And then on top of that, a lot of their budget is tied into E3. And yeah, it just paints a picture of E3 being like in a lot of trouble. So those two stories specifically are very much worth looking up for anybody who wants to read.
Yeah, it's a lot
more things.
It's I know from sources that folks that have worked at the ESA and E3 for the ESA that there was definitely, and these are people I trust, they'll remain nameless, there was a toxic work environment there.
So the first article from Brian, one of the examples included in the article talks about how during the Obama administration, Gallagher tried to keep the ESA very hands-off in terms of political standpoints. Mm-hmm. And then in the current administration, he was revealed to be like a hardline Trump supporter and had like Trump memorabilia all over his office and wanted to get really in on politics. And now that he's out, he's talking about running for office.
Mm.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and you know, whatever your political leanings are, it's up to you, but it's, Gallagher was known for, having this, I don't want to say a far right stance or anything, but having that sort of in your, I don't want to say aggressive, but maybe it is aggressive, that kind of in your face aggressive belief that you have to.
He was on record himself as having a philosophy with regards to his management style, which was,
yeah,
if your employees aren't burnt out within 3 years, you're not doing your job right.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And that's not something you want to build a company around, because people will not stick around. And the people that do actually try hard, which everybody does, but the folks that are trying their hardest, that are doing what you're doing, what you're asking them to do, get burnt out and they don't want to stick around.
Yeah, I lose talent.
That's exactly that. And then that turnover is horrible. And like I said, from the sources that I've spoken to, it's 100% true. And it was not a welcoming, often very toxic work environment that damaged personal lives. Because in I've been in situations, a lot of folks have been in situations where you leave the office, you haven't seen your family in, it seems like weeks, you know, you haven't hung out with your kids, you haven't hung out with your spouses or your loved ones, and you're losing sleep and your health is suffering, and you start to, you know, act poorly and make bad decisions and act rash and stuff. It does seep into your personal life, and you can damage your home relationships that way. You can damage your friendships that way. You can ruin future career opportunities. So it's a poor situation. The slow demise of E3, I think, is partly a result of his hardline stance of not wanting to change.
Well, the interesting thing that's sort of aside from the man himself, the Variety piece talks about how the company that runs like all of the big shows in America, like PAX and like Comic Cons and stuff like that, made an offer to buy E3 and were turned down.
Hmm.
But they couldn't be reached for comment or chose not to comment. But yeah, so there was a point a few years ago where it's not Funcom, but anyway, that company that manages all those different shows wanted E3, and I mean, imagine what E3 could be right now if the company who ran, you know, PAX had their hands on it, because if they're running both of those, they could maybe make sure that like all of the hands-on public-facing stuff happened at these shows, and all of the, you know, industry trade show stuff stayed at this show, and could keep it good. Because and instead, we have E3 trying to be what PAX is, and it's not working. But yeah, so that's fun.
It's Reed Pop, I think it's called, right?
Reed Pop, there it is.
Yeah,
that's the company that runs PAX.
Yeah,
and Comic Con. Interesting.
Yeah, they're
PAX, New York Comic Con specifically, okay. and Star Wars Celebration.
And Star, they do a lot. They do a lot of events. A lot of events. I mean, there's probably the events that that you don't even know are run by them are run by them.
Yeah,
like I'm just hopping to their website at readpop.com, and it's talking about all the different events they do here. So
yeah, I think like the last good E3 I went to was in 2014.
Okay.
And I feel like ever since then they've just kind of been like slinking downhill a little bit, just in terms of like the morale of people there and like why people were there in the first place, and the content was getting released online, so what was the point of the press really being there anyways? Right. And companies were pulling out of being there, like the press conference and when Microsoft moved from the show floor, and this year Sony pulling out. It's definitely changing a lot.
Yeah, it's
they're contracted till 2023 with the LA Convention Center, but that doesn't mean anything because they've broken their contract before to do some other stuff. And so, I mean, on the one hand, maybe they'll turn it around. On the other hand, maybe they'll just realize that they've got some serious work to do and call it off for a few years. Or move it to somewhere smaller.
Yeah. Not LA would be nice.
Yeah, right? Not LA. You know, San Francisco, for all the hell that people give.
GDC is great. I love that.
GDC is fantastic. It's a great location. It really is developer focused. And E3 is changing. The need for E3 is changing. Because it was is meant to be for press and media. Yeah. And buyers and retail, but with everybody going digital, right? You have the Xbox One SAD edition, which is 100% digital. There is no need to speak to retailers unless you want them selling your SAD box or whatever. And that's not revenue for retailers right now. In fact, I think they even mentioned that they're not dipping below that MSRP on the Xbox One. The all digital one, and in fact it's bumped up the price of the regular Xbox One, the S edition. So where that you used to be able to find that for like $249, $250, that bumped that price back up to $299 everywhere. So it if you're going to do if you're going to transition to all digital products, good luck getting retail to support you. Retail's going to stop sending stuff. I mean, you have GameStop, which is, you know, losing money. Horribly losing money, GameStop and ThinkGeek. I think the only aspect of GameStop that's making money is in Canada, and if that, but definitely not in the U.S. And so I could, in a way, see GameStop, you know, they do their own private thing in, like, February with I know PlayStation is out there, a couple other companies. And so they don't need to come to E3. It really isn't of use to them. The marketing materials have started early and things like that. So, yeah, the need for E3 is changing. The show needs to scale differently, and
it makes sense because for the developers and the production companies coming in, they pay so much money for those booths, and if it's not producing any kind of revenue for them, then what purpose do they have in going there when they can do it for free online?
Yeah, totally. And I remember like a couple of years ago when you started getting I think Sony and a few other PlayStation, a few other companies started selling stuff on the show floor, which they'd never done before, but they started selling like t-shirts and paraphernalia on the show floor. And I thought, wow, they really are just trying to recoup the costs of being at E3.
Of being there, yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think maybe the transition of going public was that too. I haven't been to E3 since it went public, but
Sam will tell you, it was a shit show last year.
I imagine.
it was during Sam's first E3, and it was a shit show.
Yeah. Oh man.
First and only E3, there was definitely a transition between like civil discourse on the show floor to like just pandemonium PAX levels of I'm just going to stand in the middle of the hall and take photos of an absolute nothing important thing.
Yeah.
And like lines that were like, oh, it'll be like maybe 20 minutes to see this thing. Now it was like, oh, this is capped and it's 3 hours if you want to see this thing. And at something like PAX, you're like, cool, I'm just going to go to this indie game that's going to take me like 15 to 45 minutes and we'll see where I'm at from there.
Yeah, and you're still entertained and you still get experience in.
Yeah, and E3, it was, no, I'm going to sit here and then maybe catch some Smash out of the corner of my eye while I'm just waiting here for an hour and a half to play something.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It's a show in dire need of evolving, and it's not doing it right now.
Identity, even.
What's that?
And in dire need of an identity, even.
Yeah.
My first one was 2013 when they released the Xbox One and the PS4 for like the first time, and they actually had like that next gen console, and there was like a legitimate like excitement about being there. Gosh, that was amazing.
Is that when I met you? I think 2014.
I think when we met, that was the first E3 that we went to. You met Robin and I at the Xbox conference. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was so cool. I mean, it's such a great feeling, you know, being there.
Yeah, being there, meeting people, it was like great for networking at the time. And then like the next year, it just kind of like began to slowly trickle down. And PAX, I think, captures a lot of that feeling still in some ways.
Yeah.
So totally. More so than E3 does now.
PAX is super affordable for people to attend, especially with like the indie booth, indie mega booth. And they need to make changes.
Yeah.
But we're not here to offer those suggestions. Maybe we'll do that in a future show. We're here to make predictions of what we might actually see at E3 this year, if anything. I'm surprised there hasn't been as many leaks. Remember last year we had the Walmart leak that showed everything?
Yep.
Rage 2. There was, you know, whatever. There was Assassin's Creed. Everything was in that Walmart leak. This year we haven't really had that yet. Nintendo just had a direct today speaking to Mario Maker 2, which comes out at the end of June anyway, so you'd reckon they had to have that. Rage 2 is out this week. And there's not a whole lot of stuff coming out anytime soon. So the companies really are sort of being tight-lipped about certain things. So I'm thinking we're gonna have some more information. Go forth pretty soon here. So let's talk about the predictions. How should we do this? So we, for the most part, we've put together our lists of what our predictions. We're going to do three predictions that are kind of what we actually think is going to happen, and then one just kind of crazy prediction that is just so far out there that it probably won't happen. But hey, why not? We'll give it a shot, and I'll try to keep track. Maybe I'll award us points for these, and
I really want to be wrong this year. I want everything to be wrong.
You were completely right last year.
I nailed it last year, and this year I just want to fly under the radar and be wrong, and if I'm right, it'll be awesome because I'm picking ridiculous things.
Oh, man.
So let's I'm going to read back the schedule here real quick to get everybody up to date. So Friday, June 7th, EA Play is doing their live stream. So again, they're doing just sort of the Nintendo Treehouse style. That's Friday and Saturday. Sunday, you have Microsoft at 1 p.m. Pacific time. I'll do all these Pacific time. 1 p.m. Pacific time. Yep. Bethesda is 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Devolver Digital is 7 p.m. Pacific time. That's Sunday. Monday is a pretty packed day. You have Upload VR is doing one at 9 a.m. You have the PC Gaming Show at 10 a.m. Limited Run Games at 12 p.m. Ubisoft at 1 p.m. Kind of Funny Games E3 Showcase at 4:30. You have the Square Enix event at 6. Didn't you have Inside Xbox live at E3 at some point that day, which is going to be sort of their kicking off their Nintendo Treehouse style event, you know, their live stream event. And then on Tuesday at 9 a.m., you have Nintendo with their annual Direct. Sony, of course, said they won't be at E3. But they may host a state of play type of thing. I wouldn't be surprised if something pops up, that weekend that's Sony related. But who knows? Who knows? We can probably just focus on the main ones: Microsoft, Bethesda, Ubisoft, Square, and Nintendo. Just because and EA maybe, just because that's all we got. But the other ones are going to be more focused on smaller games, and I think some PC stuff and the Epic Game Store. So, all right, let's kick things off. Who wants to do their first prediction, or should I do my first prediction to get things rolling? I'll do my first prediction. And then that'll give you guys time to.
So go one at a time.
We'll do one each round, and then we'll kind of cap it with our big one, our crazy ones at the end. So
it's funny because of all the people before you pick your entire list, you have to scramble to make something up.
Totally.
Oh God.
So my first one is Watch Dogs 3. I think we'll have Watch Dogs 3. Ubisoft had their investor relations release or call today, and they mentioned that they have three big games. Three AAA games coming before
four AAA games.
One of which is announced coming before March 2020. So I'm going to guess one of those is Watch Dogs, and the other one that's been announced is the new Ghost Recon? I think was one of the other ones.
Yeah, Breakout, Breakdown,
Breakout,
Breakpoint?
Breakpoint.
Hey Ubisoft, not a great name.
Let's go to Katie next.
Oh God. So I'm just going to go ahead and generically throw out there that Nintendo is going to announce some kind of new version of the Switch.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is Nintendo said they're not going to announce any new hardware at E3 this year, but they've done that before. And they've So I wouldn't
get trust them, especially with a man named Bowser at the head.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because let's say we're not going to announce new hardware at E3. Well, we didn't say we'd announce it. We may just kind of show it or something. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about you, Aaron? What do you have for your first prediction?
I'm gonna say we get a release date on the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Oh, I hope so.
They are going to show that, right?
Fucking knows.
You know what's funny is every year we've been saying they're going to show Final Fantasy. I think I've had it as my
prediction. It's become the last guardian in some ways.
Yeah. You've had it as your prediction like 2 years running, and I stayed away from it, and this is the year I'm picking it.
And I'm staying away from it, which means you will be right. Now, it's still a three-parter.
Yeah.
Three episodes.
They did confirm that it's still episodic.
Mm-hmm. Did they commit to it being three games? I thought they just said they were going to turn Final Fantasy into multiple games.
I have not seen the number 3 anywhere since the original, the very original announcement.
No, there have been some articles posted this week that speak to that it being an episodic title again, three episode title.
But are they quoting the original statement, or do they have new information?
No, I think it's new
information. Because it's changed developers, hasn't it?
I think they've spoken to the devs about it, or to Square PR.
So. They should have made it in seven parts, cowards.
The cowards. I like that. That would have been great. Final Fantasy VII, for real seven. Sam, yeah, what's your first prediction here?
Hideo Kojima rises on stage at Sony's non-existent press conference. I think Nintendo is going to show maybe some more stuff that has VR integration into it. I don't know if anybody watched that Mario Maker Direct earlier today, but they made specific mention that one of the Bullet Bill enemies in the new Super Mario 3D World come at you at the screen like they could in 3D. So just saying, they mentioned that specifically. Maybe a hint at some 3D content in that game, which would be great for Mario Maker. So
sure,
we'll see. But yeah, I think they're going to start doing more stuff. I think we talked about Link's Awakening could potentially use it just as a different visual style for that game, since it's going to be that kind of cartoonish look already. And those 3D Mario games have, 3D Zelda games, since like A Link Between Worlds have all been that kind of like tilted isometric view.
Yeah, I think that's that. I definitely think they're going to have more Nintendo VR stuff, right? The first shot, I guess everyone threw up during the Zelda VR Breath of the Wild thing, which I didn't try yet. I haven't tried the Mario Odyssey one yet either, but I heard that's at least somewhat okay. The actual Nintendo Labo VR is surprisingly capable. Like, I don't say capable, but it actually works, which blows my mind. So, I can see them doing more VR stuff. I could definitely see that. Okay. All right. That's good.
I have to jump in here before you go on.
Yeah, go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
Because we have a prediction from a friend of the show and occasional podcast host, John.
John Mr. Negative?
Yep. On Twitter. Permanent host of the Super Deformed Games cast, which records on Thursdays. He has a prediction that Final Fantasy XIV is going to be announced for the Switch.
Ooh.
Which was also one of my predictions, and I'm very graciously giving up that safe pick. And I'll have to pick something else.
Well, that's good. We were just talking about that, you know, that would be a great one for Nintendo. I'm surprised it's not there. I'm going to throw in a Final Fantasy prediction.
Don't you do it.
I'm going to say it.
Don't do it.
What is it?
Final Fantasy VIII will be coming to consoles.
Final Fantasy sweep of predictions.
did you have one of those?
Yep, I had Final Fantasy VIII.
That's, you should have said it then.
Like remastered it. Or
no? I don't think it'll be remastered. I think
I have a remake reveal.
Oh, you have a remake reveal. Okay, I just have the game is going to be released finally on consoles in a special version, probably like an up-resed or something.
This reminds me that Warcraft 3 comes out this year. Oh man, that's exciting.
Warcraft 3,
the remake, the upscale.
I'm super pumped. I loved that game.
Yes,
so much.
I did too. We briefly mentioned it in the pre-show, but that trailer for World of Warcraft, was it the Battle for Azeroth, whatever, with Thrall, looked fantastic. They should make a Warcraft movie. I think that would look pretty cool. all CGI movie. Try not to use do what they did before. But so you're thinking a full-on Final Fantasy VIII remake?
I am, and the reason I'm thinking is because they've generated so much hype with this Final Fantasy VII remake, and then so the next obvious one is 8 or 9. And if you ever talk about Final Fantasy VII, you're going to get people like me who are like, yeah, but 8's better. Nobody ever really talks about 9. Everybody likes 9. Nobody ever talks about 9. People like 8. And then on top of that, I combine that with the idea that one of the new classes in the upcoming expansion of Final Fantasy XIV is called the Swordbreaker. Mm. And they basically roll around with gun blades. They're just using the iconic weapon from Final Fantasy VIII, and the timing just seemed a little interesting to me. So I was like, I bet they do something with Final Fantasy VIII.
Give me gun blades in HD. That's all I want.
Well, you know what, Aaron? I'm going to give you Final Fantasy VIII. I'll give that one to you. I'll come up with another one.
All right.
Here is my other one. Halo on Switch. We'll get Halo 1, either that or the Master Chief Collection. But I definitely think Halo 1 will come to Switch, which Microsoft has been – I mean, Cuphead is doing phenomenal on Switch right now. I mean, it a whole new audience, and Microsoft and Nintendo are really good friends right now. So I don't think we're going to get that streaming stuff. Or Game Pass or anything like that, but I do think you'll see some ports, and it's, you know, the Switch can handle Halo. I mean, it's got online enough to handle the original Halo, I think. So, so yeah, I'm thinking we're gonna get Halo 1. We'll start with that Halo 1 on Switch. It may be the Halo 1 from the Master Chief Collection, or didn't they do a remake of Halo 1?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yes. It'll be that. Okay, all right. Sam, let's go to Sam next. Sam, what's your second one?
Since you mentioned Bethesda, I think we're due for some Dishonored content this year. Sure if we're due for a Dishonored 3. I mean, they did make that not spin-off game, but that sort of DLC that got expanded into larger side game. I think we're due for that in the rotation of Bethesda. Announcements. They do have Doom Eternal. Is that what the new Doom is to show? Mm-hmm. But
yep.
Other than that, Rage just came out yesterday. So what you bring in Bethesda? you got a whole show. Is Dishonored part of that show? Because I'd appreciate it if it was.
Yeah.
Fallout 77.
New Elder Scrolls game.
Well, let's go on to you, Katie. What is your second?
Cyberpunk release date, finally.
Oh yeah. Was that your last one? Sorry.
Was that your third one, Aaron?
I have a list of about 10 things, and you guys have picked all of them except for the ones I said.
All right. Now, they're making a big deal about it. It's going to be huge.
It's been a while. They have gameplay. I feel like this is like the year of that for that game. Like this is the year to milk it. And I feel like they have to give fans a release date because people have just been like drooling over it for years now.
Mm-hmm.
And the second they released that, like that gameplay, like it was just.
Yeah. I was in love with it. Okay. Sam and I had a religious experience watching that demo. We were waiting in line. Well, I did at least. We were waiting in line, and the Evolve PR guys like just walked over to us and be like, "Hey, you guys are coming in right now." We're like, "Okay."
it was just funny because you had I think you had decided to stay, and I was like, "Well, I don't know, man. Like, there's gonna be other stuff to do. Like, I gotta go see stuff." And then you just text me and he's like, you were like, "Hey, 45 minutes, we're in, get over here," or whatever. we went in and saw Cyberpunk, and man, what a demo, huh?
Oh my God. That was an amazing demo. They
released that video, which is essentially just the entire walkthrough. Some different choices were made. It was a live pilot while we watched it. It wasn't like, it was just like a video and it was like, "Oh, I'm going to hit buttons and pretend I'm doing it." It looked nuts.
They made mistakes along the way too. They're like, "Oh shit, we weren't supposed to show you that yet."
Yeah, he accidentally was changing weapons. It's like, uh-oh.
So excited for that game. So excited. And yeah, we'll get a release date. I think we will, because they're making a big deal about it. I've been getting a bunch of messages and emails. "Are you going to be at E3 for Cyberpunk?" from the Cyberpunk folks. I'm like, "I am not. I'm sorry. I am not going to be."
I need that game.
Yeah, I think we all do. We all do. And just with everything from like Blade Runner, we talked about how great Blade Runner was.
Oh, yeah.
Cyberpunk is right there. So
yeah, okay. That trailer came out right after I saw the new Blade Runner. And then I was just like, this is meant to be.
Well, I'm going to go on to Aaron right now for his third one, because I feel bad that we've sucked up all his all his choices. Aaron, tell us.
I'm scrambling to find something because the last one I had on my list, was apparently debunked. So
oh.
I had a new Splinter Cell based on that tweet that happened. Fucking developer from... He was totally joking that when he said he was working on the next Splinter Cell and see everybody at E3. So I'm just going to not say that one. And instead, I'm going to say... I'm going to say Battlefield Bad Company 3.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. I would love that. I would love that. Everybody loves Bad Company 2.
I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, I love Bad Company 2. I'm on a t-shirt somewhere because of Bad Company 2. I think I've been saying that game needs to happen every one of these prediction shows, just off in the corner. Like,
I'm going to be back, and your predictions are all bad. We're getting a new Bad Company this year.
I think the show we did last year, you were wrapping up, and right before you turned the stream off, I might have yelled, Bad Company 2.
You might have.
Or Bad Company 3. But yeah, so I'm thinking Bad Company 3 is this year.
Okay.
I think they've had a string of Battlefield games that haven't performed as well as they'd hoped. And every time they put one out, everybody goes, yeah, but what about Bad Company? Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be it.
Okay. All right. Katie, let's go with your third one.
Oh, God. Hang on. Now I'm running out of things.
Are you running out of things?
I feel like let's talk about Microsoft, because now that Sony's pulled out, like, Microsoft is going to do something huge.
They are. They got another hour and a half long show there.
I have a Microsoft thing on my list.
That's your big one, right?
What are you going to say? Pick it. Do it.
Okay. They're going to announce their next gen console. I mean, how can they not after Sony did that?
Totally.
Yep. I totally agree with you. That was going to be one of my regular picks as well, was the they're going to announce their next gen console. But I'm going to switch it up.
Uh-oh.
Ready? And I'm going to say, get ready. I'm going to say they're going to announce their next gen consoles.
The two versions, right?
I think they're going to have more than two versions. I think they're, and what I mean by that is they're going to push the next box, whatever they want to call it. The Xbox Infinite, right? That's basically what they're going to call it, the Infinite. That's always on. It's always connected. They're going to have that. They're going to have an all digital version of that. So like a small hub, version, and they're going to have a, I guess, the cloud gaming version. I guess that's going to count as one, but they'll reveal that it'll be on PC and it'll work on other. They'll say it'll be on PC and other consoles.
It'll be Xbox everywhere is what it'll be.
Yeah, what it basically. Yep, their cloud service. So that's, they're going to push their cloud service, which will launch this year, for all of that, their consoles. That's what I'm thinking. So they're going to announce consoles instead of console. But they have a lot of shit going on at Xbox. It's like a big gaping hole. I'll just say one thing. I was going to say, we will not get a Forza this year.
Come on.
You will get a Forza DLC talked about, though.
You'll get DLC, but you won't get you won't get Forza 8. So. Sam, what's your third one?
Well, actually, it's funny we're talking about racing there. I think that Nintendo still owes us a social game this year. Still owes us. No, I think other than Pokemon, they don't really have a Mario Party or anything like that slated yet for the rest of this year. I think we're going to get some form of, I guess I'll call it Mario Kart content.
That's what I had for my special one.
Oh, really? This is random, though, because I think we could either get more DLC for Deluxe, but when I say more DLC, I mean like half a game's worth of DLC, like a pretty good chunk. We could get what I think Nintendo should have been doing for a while now, which is like Nintendo Kart, which is like all Nintendo characters as opposed to just like, I think Villager and the Squid Kids, right, are in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. But just Nintendo Kart with everybody. Or we may see Rising from the Ashes, that ever rumored Star Fox like racing adventure game or whatever.
Wait. So are you predicting that Nintendo is basically going to put out Mario and All-Stars Racing Transformed?
No, I'm saying they're just going to make Mario Kart, but instead of just Mario Kart levels, it's all of Nintendo. I mean, I guess that's Sega All-Star.
Yeah.
But, like, it's also Mario Kart's foundation, as long as you don't change it, like, too much, like, you can just integrate the characters and their sort of styling. I don't know. They can pull it off in Smash. They can pull it off in Karts. They'll do it.
What if they do Smash Brothers Racing, and then instead of it just being, like, core Nintendo characters, it's every character that's in Smash Racing?
I mean, that would be cool.
That would be especially cool, because then you get Sonic in multiple racing games this year.
I was going to say, Sonic's in a cooler racing game than his own in the same year. That would be awesome.
There's a whole bunch of different Mario Kart games that aren't confined to consoles right now. They have the Mario Kart Arcade. So you go to any Dave and Buster's, and there's actually like a Sega-produced Mario Kart game. And there's the Mario Kart VR game for Oculus Rift. So I thought they could potentially bring in Mario Kart VR. I actually had written Mario Kart VR. or it was a new Mario Kart VR or racing game to Switch. So I could see them releasing a VR component with the Labo. That's your Labo VR thing. Potentially for Mario Kart. But yeah, I can see them pushing that, because I have this feeling that 2019, I mean, it's packed with Nintendo stuff, but 2020, we'll probably get a Splatoon 3. We'll probably get ARMS 2. We'll get Metroid Prime 4, I think, in 2020, and Mario Kart 9. So who knows?
I don't get another prediction, but I want to say that...
You get a big one. You get your big, giant prediction.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but this one's safe. This one's safe boy. So I think we're going to get less than the amount of Animal Crossing footage that people want of Animal Crossing. But we may get some form of a release window. I don't know if we get a date quite yet. Something strikes me that Animal Crossing is a big enough series that they'll probably do their own like Animal Crossing Direct.
Yeah.
At some point, they'll probably touch on it in Treehouse too. But
do you think we get like a cute Nintendo like teaser trailer type thing, which has like Isabelle, but and it's set up like she's in the Smash universe, and then she goes back to her house, and then it pans out to like an Animal Crossing thing?
Mm-hmm. They could do that.
That'd be great.
They could also have a video of CEOs talking to each other in the Animal Crossing, like all good options.
A Force Ghost of Reggie. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, lots of pastel, and everybody will be nice to each other, and somebody will hand somebody a leaf. I can't wait for Animal Crossing.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. It'll be a good one.
What if Animal Crossing becomes a little bit more Stardew Valley-ish?
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
What do you have to
what if Stardew Valley became more
Animal Crossing? Oh, peanut like butter and chocolate have come together.
Yep. Those two games should just marry each other. Yeah. I think that's what should happen.
Well, let's do our final crazy predictions right now. I want to go with Aaron with his crazy-ass predictions. So Aaron.
New Final Fantasy.
What's that?
New Final Fantasy.
New Final Fantasy.
I think Square Enix announces what I'm calling Final Fantasy 16, but could be something along the lines of like World of Final Fantasy was, which wasn't New Final Fantasy, but wasn't one of the main number games, but I'm saying New Final Fantasy.
Oh, shit. I would love if the next Final Fantasy game was a 16-bit style Final Fantasy overhead, just really classic the fuck out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Do like the Link's Awakening style Final Fantasy games. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Okay. I'll take anything at this point.
Yeah, the next Final Fantasy game. Very cool. Katie, what's your crazy idea?
There's going to be a new Halo trilogy.
Halo Infinite. Halo Infinite is like the big Halo game, but you're thinking it could be a full trilogy. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a crazy prediction. I really don't think that's going to happen.
Right. That's all right. We kind of don't think these will happen, but that's okay.
Would Halo Infinite be Halo 7 if you were to still have it numbered? I don't play Halo, so I don't know where in the series. Like, what was the one before Infinite? Was it 6?
Was it Guardians or what was it?
It was Guardians.
That was Guardian, yeah. What was there a Halo 5?
Halo 4 was Halo 4. So, Halo 5 was Halo Guardians.
So okay. This, so Infinite would be 6, and then they would announce a new trilogy off of the back of that?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Because it's Infinite, you know?
I can see that.
It keeps on going. Halo will never die.
God, just let Master Chief sleep.
Sam, what's your crazy? What's that? What's that, Kenny?
Never mind. I was going to say Ubisoft announces an Assassin's Creed where you play fully in the present.
Oh, see.
I've been on that since Desmond was still a character.
Yeah. One day. That still might happen.
I'm going to write that down. Because that is something that is really kind of an intriguing from a Assassin's Creed standpoint. I mean, there's the whole Assassin's Creed Viking rumor that's going around, right? But yeah. they did say that there's no Assassin's Creed game this year, I think. But Assassin's Creed in modern day would be, I think that could be really cool, especially if you get to go to a couple different cities, you know?
Yeah.
Throw Assassin's Creed in, like, Moscow or something. I mean, you could have a lot of fun with Assassin's Creed in modern times, for sure.
Yeah, so, for sure.
So, very cool, very cool. Sam, what's your big one?
I really couldn't think of anything, so I'm just going to take the easy way out and say I think somebody is going to either announce a game and drop it, like, digitally that day and, like, in retail the next week, or some game that's a known quantity but hasn't been given a release date is going to get one that's like, oh, and this game, by the way, will be available on Tuesday, so go out and get it.
You think they're going to pull the old E3 standby?
Yeah, the old.
It's available today.
Yeah. No, I think nowadays you could pull off a digital, though. Like, oh, by the way, you can get it digitally right now. It'll be in store shelves on Tuesday if you want to pick it up physically.
They did that with the Xbox, right? Remember the Xbox Elite? They said that it's going to be available. Everybody in the room gets one. For everybody else, it'll be available next week or whatever. Yeah.
Well, they did. They've done it with games before, too. Like, didn't they do something last year, some game?
Probably.
Oh, I can't remember now. I swear that it was a downloadable game, but I don't remember.
My crazy one, I had a hard time. I was juggling a few different ones. I was actually going to put Watch Dogs 3 as my crazy one, but ended up backing off. And then Halo 1 on Switch was crazy. Ended up backing off. Here's my crazy one. And that is, I think we'll see a Nintendo game on Xbox.
Oh, totally.
That might be interesting. I wonder what game.
I don't know. I could be Mario, because that would be a huge, you just lead with Mario. Maybe it's, I don't know, Super Mario.
No, I'll tell you what the most likely one is. It's Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing on multiple platforms, like a new core Animal Crossing?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And then I almost sort of included a spin on this as my out there prediction, because it seems like Microsoft and Nintendo are like BFFs, doing all this stuff, being pals. All the Microsoft stuff's coming to Nintendo, sort of. So
eventually, yeah. I think we could get a Nintendo game on Xbox.
That'd be interesting.
I think it could be as simple as the original Mario Brothers, the original Super Mario Brothers game. On Xbox, and it would force people to buy it all over again, and people would be happy doing that. I think we'll get something. I think we'll get something. The other ones I was actually thinking of were Fable 4. I thought you got Obsidian is owned by Microsoft right now, right? So why not have them work on the next Fable game? Whatever it would be, Fable 4, Fable 5, I don't even know what it would be anymore.
But Obsidian is making Fable now?
No, but I thought since they're owned by Microsoft, why not have them start doing the Fable games, take them over from...
That'd be pretty... I do miss Fable a lot.
Yeah.
Yep, is Obsidian not working on Outer Wilds? Or what's that game?
I think they are. They're working on something, yeah.
There are two with very similar titles. And one of them is that space Fallout Obsidian game, and the other one is something else, I think. It's like the Outer Lands and the Outer Wilds, I think, are the two games.
The Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds, yeah. It is a new single-player, first-person sci-fi RPG from Obsidian and Private Division. So they're doing that. And they have, of course, the Pillars of Eternity games that they're working on. Which are very good. And so I can see them taking on Fable, because apparently they've already been given an Xbox franchise or Xbox you know, exclusive game to work on. So let's see that. And it was that, and it was, I was looking at the casual stuff, Sam, for the Switch, because Nintendo always has one each year, like a party game. And I was thinking they could bring, they need a port to bring over to the Switch this year, because they haven't really done any ports this year, have they, that I know of? So a good one would be Nintendo Land, and why not just bring it and call it Super Nintendo Land, and it would be the port of Nintendo Land on Switch, which was, maybe it was, some people might think it was still one of the best Wii U games that were out there, and I tend to agree, because it's still a hell of a lot of fun and cool idea, but you'd be missing a few of the things, obviously, on the Switch, but I could see them bringing a Super Nintendo Land game to the Switch. But those are just kind of, I was trying to decide what to do. But I think a Nintendo game on Xbox is my crazy one. Anything else on your guys' lists that didn't make the cut during the show, but you just want to, anything you want to throw out there just for the hell of it to keep people excited?
You just said a Nintendo thing on Xbox. What if they had a Super Mario Player where you got to play levels from Super Mario Maker that people made, but you couldn't make levels? You would have to have a Switch for that.
That's a great thing. That's a great idea, because you could play those levels, and it would, maybe it's just like a rotating series of levels or something. I don't know, but yeah, you could play the levels that other people make, which would entice you to pick up the Switch version. I like that. That's good. That's smart.
I still have to buy a Switch.
Oh my gosh. You're one of the few.
I know. I know, right? I know.
I will point out that 50% of this podcast doesn't own a Switch.
That's correct.
Yay. Okay, that's good.
The minute they make bigger controllers, Aaron, I'm gonna buy you a Switch.
is that what they're talking about? Like a new model? How do you think?
No, they're making it smaller.
No, they're gonna make a what I think will happen is they'll make a smaller version of the Switch this year for Pokemon, right? People like to take Pokemon with them and do stuff all the time. Yeah. And if you make a version of the Switch that is doesn't have the removable controllers, I think you save a ton of money that way. And so I could see them making a Switch. And we talked about this, like, when the Switch was released. I think we even had a couple podcasts where we said they're eventually going to make a Switch without removable controllers, that you can still dock if you have the dock or a special dock, but in time for Pokemon, I think it's perfect. So
yeah,
you know, one thing that we didn't mention and nobody talked about was the slow death, or the maybe it's a quick death of the classic gaming system, right? Those are the classic minis. I don't think there'll be another PlayStation mini unless they do a PS2 mini. I mean, that's the only one I would look at.
Man, if they made a PS2 mini, whew.
That would be pretty cool. But yeah. I still freaking want my Game Boy Mini, my Game Boy Classic Mini, loaded up with like 40 Game Boy games, Game Boy and Game Boy Color. Yes. I would buy the hell out of that thing.
What you need is a Super Game Boy Mini, and all it is like an SD card that plugs into your SNES Mini, and you can plug your Game Boy games into it and play them on that.
That would be badass. It's the little USB attachment that gets it. You know what? I do this prediction every year, and I didn't do it this year, but a new Donkey Kong game, but like an actual classic Donkey Kong. That'd be pretty nice.
That'd be cool.
All right. Those are our E3 predictions. We may have a couple shows over the next few weeks here where, you know, people like Tom, you guys remember Tom Johnson? Maybe he'll throw some predictions out. Maybe we'll get predictions from some of the other staff members.
Where's Tom? We're
just waiting for him. We'll see. We may have Dan Hevia, who will actually be doing some side questing for us on site at E3. He's our sole representative this year. Well, Dan and Tom. Tom will be out there for game ranks, but Dan will be doing a couple things here and there for side questing. So. But yeah, maybe we'll have a couple more prediction shows, just little addendums along the way. But hey, thank you guys at least for giving your predictions tonight. I think it was very helpful. It got me excited for E3. For what I was initially thinking was going to be a pretty boring E3, our predictions actually sound pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, there's some exciting things to be said. I think that's kind of like the cool thing, is like going up to E3. We could have like maybe like a little disheartened at like the state of announcements, but it could also just blow us away. And that's like the nice thing about not having those leaks out early, is like we don't know.
Yeah, I think I had heard a couple things this year. None of them are on this list, by the way. I heard a couple things. I thought, God, that sounds like it really could be a really good, badass. You know, We may actually have a surprisingly good E3. So I wouldn't, just because Sony's not there and Activision is scaled back, and EA have scaled back, don't think that it's smaller, because Microsoft, more than anyone, Microsoft might come out firing with a bunch of surprises this year. I mean, we don't know anything that they're making for release this year, right? That I know of. Gears, is Gears coming this year? I don't know, maybe. Halo?
I mean, they announced three of them last year.
Yeah. There's 8 Gears games coming, so at least one of them will come this year.
What if everybody leaves the first day of E3, like everybody's at the hall and they close it after the night and everybody like files outside and this big fucking truck just pulls up and like John Sony jumps out and he's like, check it out, we got the PS5!
I could actually see in a weird way, one of my predictions is going to be Sony shows up on the Square Enix stage because Square Enix took over the Sony time slot. Sony shows up on their stage and says, oh, hey, by the way, it's coming to our next, you know, the Final Fantasy VII that we're showing you guys here is coming to our next console, the PS5, which will be released on this date. See you guys in a few months at Tokyo Game Show when we show it off or something like that, which would just, you know, put the wet blanket on anything that anybody else is talking about. So
are they going to be at TGS or Gamescom?
They haven't said it. They haven't said it. So I don't know. But again, it's there are too many shows. There are far too many shows these days. So, but the indies are where everything's at anyways. All right. That's it. Let's pack it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Katie, for hopping on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
We'll have to do a Game of Thrones finale episode next
week. Oh, yes.
Maybe
yes.
Next Monday or something. Yes. Tuesday. We'll have yes. We'll pick a time. We'll get together. We'll do a Game of Thrones special. Because I think it'd be worthwhile.
Yeah, lots to discuss with that, for sure. Yeah.
Aaron.
The end.
Hey.
Thank you, Aaron, for being Aaron as usual.
Yeah. I streamed yesterday. Sam.
What's that?
I said I streamed yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
I was capturing footage for my review, which should be live soon.
Yeah, I've got like 3 reviews going up that I've been procrastinating on. They're like all written, but I've got to kind of go through and touch up a couple things before and all the games are out, but that's okay. Sam, it's been months. It's so good to have you back. It's been like a week or two.
It's been, right? I was going to say, it was like, wait, was I not on last week? I was on last week.
You were on last week.
Yes, it's been another week. Closer to death, closer to E3. Games happen.
Same thing twice.
Time marches on, you know.
Tom, thank you, Tom.
Hey, man, I'm just
thank you, Tom.
Here.
Yeah, fucking tacos.
I got some sneakers. They're cool.
That motherfucker. I bought sneakers last week because I had to replace my sneakers because my last pair fell apart, and the pair that I've had for literally 7 days are already falling apart.
Oh no.
Blame Tom? Is that what you're doing? Blame Tom?
Yeah.
Good man.
Good man.
They design sneakers with bad batteries now that you have to go get them replaced very often.
This is where technology has taken us.
Yes. And I'm Dolly Domofsky. You can find us at SideQuesting. SideQuesting TV. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. You can find us at SideQuesting.com. I think I already said that like 4 times. Aaron, where can we find you?
You can find me at sidequesting.com. No, you can find me at Twitch and Twitter at Scratty Bones.
There you go. Katie, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at InvisiB.
Sam, we're not going to look for you, but where can we find you?
Nowhere.
I'll look for you, Sam.
No, don't come find me.
Did you tweet this week, Sam?
What?
Did you tweet this week?
No, man. I set my Twitter to private. I'm now hanging out with Ryan Gann in the safety of my own world.
What happened
Ryan's
to
not
you?
Private anymore. Ryan's not private, is he?
Did something
is he
not happen
private?
To you?
Oh, I thought he was still private. No, nothing happened. I don't like social media.
That's a valid thing to not like.
I'm just bored. I don't know. I got in a cycle of reading other people's junk, and now I have a real job and I can't, and it's so nice. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm off of social media for like good.
It's nice to not be on social media. I will definitely say I've been doing these like existential posts on social media to see like, if anybody like if there's any like response to them, and I'll get like one like on something which is like deep and meaningful, and then like my next tweet will be I farted out the national anthem, and then I get like 1,000 likes and retweets. I'm like, well, that's what social media has become. Sweet.
Yep.
Well, the
let this not define humanity.
The next time I feel the need to sign on, I'll make sure to like every single one of your posts from the last week.
Thank you.
Dali needs that validation.
I need validation. Boy, do you guys.
For his philosophical thoughts.
Yes. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll see you on the next side. If you have some really cool E3 predictions, I'm going to type these up and I'll post them in a post. Look on the site. We'll have E3 Prediction Central, and we'll have a lot of fun there, and we'll keep track. Who knows? Maybe we'll get something right.
We should have a contest during E3.
Maybe we'll have a contest. Maybe I'm secretly setting something up for listeners and readers, because I have maybe I have a box of E3 swag from the last 6 years that I need to get rid of.
Oh man.
From E3 2012, because you may be winning that sweet, sweet Destiny 1 t-shirt. with that, we'll see you all on the next side quest. We love you guys.
Bye.
And I think baseball players will be like, they point to this.
Yeah, girls can't do that though. It's kind of
painful. Take care, everybody. Bye.
I just got an email or a Facebook message onto my store's account entirely in French.
Interesting. Choices kill my head for the day now.